Welcome, 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 and good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
Oh, I'm going to start that again because I got energy moving today. Welcome, 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 and good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
Now, thank you, thank you, thank you. I appreciate that. And I heard you too. I'm grateful and thankful for all of you who are with us online. I know I can feel your energy as well. I want your vibration to be picked up. Just because you're home or in another location viewing us does not mean that you cannot feel our spirit and power and energy and love. And we, in turn, receive yours as well. So thank you for being with us this morning. Yes, thank you for being with us this morning. We're going to continue with our series on spiritual laws for conscious manifestors.
Yes.
And I got a hit this morning that I should turn this series into a book. So I'm going to do that because there are many, many laws that we you know, live by, but to be able to really start to apply these. And people have been asking me for years to write a book, and I said, I don't know. I'm waiting for the book to write me, and who knows? What can I say that, you know, somebody else hasn't said? But as I've been working with these, they've been speaking to my own spirit and heart because it really is a practical guide or a process that we, as true students, metaphysicians, light bearers, light workers, healers, can actually apply so that we make a difference in this world. Right? And so I thought, yes, this is the time to do that. Time is of the essence. The time is now. And so I think next week we might be talking a little bit about the laws of time. But right now, we are here. We are here present.
Yes.
And so I just want to take a moment. Thank you always for my amen corner, my brother. But I think I want to take a moment to really just behold you, to look at each of you, to see you, and to feel you. Because I truly, when I take the time to do that, I can behold. We used to sing, right? I behold the Christ in you. Hear the life of God I see. I can see you whole and free, right? Or I can see that perfect one. So we want to learn how to behold one another. And so I am beholding right now as I look at you and feel you, I'm beholding great beauty. I'm beholding radiance. I want to see the light that you are, to see it radiating outward. I'm beholding magnificence because you all are what? You are magnificent. So I want to behold that, and I can take the time and see that in all of you. Thank you. I receive that. This phrase goes that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. We've heard that, right? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and that's quite true. But as I was thinking about that saying, I thought, well, then again, everything is in the eye of the beholder. Everything. The beauty, the ugly, it's all in the eye of the beholder. Because each of us sees our own reality. We each see our own reality, and then we mistakenly think that my reality is your reality and you see what I see, but no, that's not the case. We are all, each of us, looking at life through the lens of our own sense of self, our own eyes, right? We're looking through the lens of life through our own perspective. And so we are beholding either the beauty of life or the not so good, whatever, but it's ours to see. Remember the phrase, what you see is what you get. All right, say it again. What you see is what you get. Meaning there's no trickery, there's no false image, nothing is hidden. That whatever hidden, whatever is before you is what you will get. What you see before you is what you get. Now, even though that's a cute little phrase or a cute little ditty, as I like to call it, there is unknowingly, however, a power in that phrase as a spiritual practice. that what you see is what you get. That is a spiritual practice. It is the power of our ability to image a thing. There's power in our ability to image a thing. What you see is what you get. And as conscious manifestors, it's very important for us to believe or to understand the spiritual laws of imagination, of visioning, of seeing to believe, as well as believing to see. So I want to look at those for a minute. And I thought I'd start with the power of imagination first. And Mr. Charles Fillmore, who's one of the co-founders of great metaphysician, mystic, Christian mystic, and co-founder of Unity, he says in the Revealing Words two things about image and imagination. So I want to start with what he wrote about the power to image. And then, of course, the activity of imaging comes out in what? Imagination. So this is what it says about image. And he starts by giving a quote from Daniel Webster, which I do often too, because Webster, the dictionary, is a great metaphysical resource. He was definitely a metaphysician, right? Understood the meaning behind the words, the energy behind. What does that word really mean? So he says, for image, according to Daniel Webster, a mental representation of anything not actually present to the senses. So that's Webster's definition. But here's Mr. Fillmore. He says, everything that is manifested was first a mental picture and was brought into expression by the forming power of the imagination. So, before I go further, everything that is manifested, right, was first a what? A mental picture. And was brought into expression by the forming power of the imagination. So everything that is manifested and formed begins first as a what? A mental picture. Because if I want to create something, let's say I want to create this pen, I have to first see it in my mind. I say, I'm going to make this pen. Oh, it's going to be about 6 inches long. And then it'll have a top on it. It'll be made of plastic. The top will also have a little blue around it. And a little, maybe a dent. I'll make it with a dent in here. And I'll have something where it fits nicely into the hand. And I'm seeing that. And then I'm going to have a little tip in the back of it to hold the ink pen. Every detail of this pen was first what? It starts in mind, right? It's a thought, but that thought has to be clothed in an image. I've got to see what it is I want to create, whether it's my water bottle. How do I want to create this? I want to make it weigh this much out of this material, out of this design. I want to put two little thingies here. I don't know what they are, but thingies here that will hold it. You know, and I'm going to have something where I can flip it up, and it's going to have a little dot in here that'll snap it. Every detail of anything that is manifested first begins as a mental image, a thought that then is transposed into what? A mental image. So this is very important for us as conscious manifestors to understand this power, this ability to image a thing, because it's the seed of our creation, of bringing something from what? Invisible, from the thought realm into manifest realm. We've got to be able to have that mental picture. And then he says, man accumulates a mass of ideas about substance. And when I say substance, just know I'm talking about the stuff of God, the invisible creative stuff of God. That's the substance. Sub, meaning below, and stance. That which stands below or in back of or behind anything that is created is the presence and power of the stuff of God, right? So he says, Man accumulates a mass of ideas about substance and life, and with his imagination, he molds them into shape. So we've got stuff, God stuff, which is all around us. But through our power of the ability to image, we take that image and that thought, and we begin to mold it and shape it, right? We mold it and shape it. And this is the power of imagination. But so each of us must not only see the image of our desires as a theory, but we must also form it into a living, breathing thing through every motive and act. Now, a lot of times, a lot of our ideas remain just that, theory, right? We have a thought that passes through, but we don't really do anything with that thought. It becomes theory. Reminds me of some poor soul who said that he didn't have a plan, but he had a concept of a plan. We can have a concept of a plan. We might have a theory about what we want, but it's just a concept, not even a plan, right? So it's a theory. It's just a thought, but there's nothing to it. And he says, so, you know, if we're going to really bring about our desires and our actions and our wants, he says, we got to move from the theory level to what? To the activating level, right? So we have to form it. We have to also form it into a living, breathing thing through every motive and act. You got to put attention. If I want to create a water bottle, I have to take this image, this thought, and this image I have in my mind and my consciousness, and I've got to activate it. I've got to bring the substance to form. I've got to produce it, go get the materials, whatever it is, the coloring, the painting. I've got to do it all, but I have to activate it, do it, right? Because other than that, it'll never manifest. It will remain constantly what? Just a lovely idea. And most of us have great ideas. I've had some great ideas in my life. I have, as you have, but they've never come to anything. Because I didn't what? I didn't really take the action to bring it to life, to form it, to form it. So there are many great spiritual teachers. I said, man, I had that idea. I had that idea like 15 or 20 years ago. And now look at them. They took it and they ran with it. And, well, that's on you, Sylvia. You know. So God gives us these divine ideas. And I'm not going to talk a lot about divine ideas because I want to talk about imaging. But a divine idea is full in and of itself. It comes complete, right? And we're the ones that get to take that divine idea and shape it and form it and do whatever we want to do with it and to bring it into life. And they're infinite. So we could all lay hold of the same idea, but as it funnels through your consciousness and your perception and your thoughts and your theory, it becomes totally different so that everybody's idea is going to show up what? Differently. And it's infinite. So we're not limited. So that is the power of the ability to image. Now, for imagination, which is taking this power and acting upon it, is what imagination is. So he says, imagination is the faculty of mind that images and forms, the power to shape and form thought. So we have thought, but if we just leave the thought by itself, it's just a thought. Even when we talk about holding a thought in mind, which is what thoughts held in mind produce after their kind, we call it what? The law of mind action. That's great. But what if you took a thought and you held it in mind, but you also began to hold what? An image of that thought. Now you're going to be cooking with gas. Now that power is amped up, right? The ability to manifest something is stronger because you take the thought, you add a little image to it, and you have a stronger manifestation. So he says, the faculty of mind that images, this is what imagination is, it's one of our 12 powers. So the faculty of mind that images and forms, the power to shape and form thought. The imaging faculty presides at the nerve center between the eyes. Between the eyes, right? And in Eastern philosophy, the energy center between the eyes, what do you think that's called? The third eye, right? But it means that that's the higher level. Now, the third eye is slightly different than our capacity to actually imagine, to use our imagination. The third eye brings in the ability to have insight, higher understanding, intuition, a higher knowing, seeing beyond the pale, seeing beyond the realm of the physical. So this is a wonderful center here of the third eye. But the ability where the imagination is located in this same location, that's the ability to act and to shape and to form. The third eye, we are receiving, we are perceiving in a different higher vibration, a different level. We're seeing beyond the physical. The imagination, we're also seeing beyond the physical, but we are taking a thought and we're shaping it and we're activating it and forming it and coloring it. So both are important, but sometimes, you know, that third eye, when you want to sit down and get higher wisdom, you can sit down and meditate on this center so that you can see beyond what is seen. You can know the unknown, right? You can tap into the higher consciousness that we sing about all the time. Seek a higher consciousness. Well, that realm, that energy center is here in the forehead, center of your forehead. You can call it the third eye. You can call it your perceiving power of your mind. So it says here, the imaging faculty presides at the nerve center between the eyes. Through this faculty, the formless takes form. The formless takes form. We start shaping and giving form to that which is not formed. With our imagination, we lay hold of ideas and clothe them with substance. We take a thought and we begin to clothe that thought with substance, right? With the energy of God. We color it. We bring it to life. He says, in the communication of God with man, the imaging power of the mind plays an important part. It receives divine ideas. We receive them in consciousness through intuition, through being still, through opening up our third eye, opening up our intuitive faculty, and receive the higher thoughts and energy of God. And so it says, we receive these divine ideas and reflect their character to the consciousness. And then he talks about according to spirit, which I was going to talk, but I didn't have enough time as I was writing this. He says, according to scripture, this is the opening of the heavens and the seeing of the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And that comes from John when John the Baptist is telling his disciples that there's going to come a time when they're going to be able to see angels of heaven descending and ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, meaning that they're going to see that spiritual essence of Jesus as the Christ, receiving divine ideas. And that's what angels are. They are higher thoughts, right, in consciousness. If we're speaking spiritually and metaphysically, angels are simply higher thoughts of consciousness. But when we are at a certain state and vibration and we're seeing at a certain higher level, we see these wonderful divine ideas coming and going. So this is a really powerful thing to be able to use our imagination to take an idea and to be able to clothe that idea, to bring that idea to life. So part of our practice as conscious manifestors, we have to practice seeing and or imaging what we want. You got to see it, right? Because if you can't see it... If you can't see it, especially in your mind's eye, then it's going to be hard for you to manifest it because you have no idea what it looks like, what it is, right? We just pray for stuff, and if it came, you wouldn't know it if it hit you upside the head, Because you don't know what you're praying for. You don't know what it looks like. You haven't given it any texture or anything. You know, you just say, oh, God, bless me, you know, with abundance. You just say that, but you don't color what that means for you. So you just sitting there waiting for somebody to knock on the door with a whole bunch of abundance. And meanwhile, Spirit probably had a job for you or something over. You didn't pull it out of the ethers. You didn't clothe it with anything. So it just hangs out as a mystery. And then we go, well, I asked for it, and I don't know where it is. Well, if it hit you, would you know it if it hit you in the face? No. Color it. See it, right? So we've got to practice this, using this ability to image a thing, right? To see a thing. Now, I know that there are some people who say, well, I'm just not a visionary person. I can't visualize things. And if you are one of those souls who say that or on that false notion, I say step out of that false notion, because everybody, if you're thinking, you have visualized a thought, right? You might not be in touch with that as the process is happening. You don't name it, but you have. So you got to step out of the way. I'm not a visual person, or I'm not a visionary. We're all visionaries. So we step out of that false notion, and we begin to simply practice. You want to practice manifesting by seeing and imaging. And you can start with familiar things that you're familiar with. If you want to build up your capacity to image a thing or to visualize a thing, you can, you know, start with something familiar. I was thinking, like, you know, when you were in kindergarten and your teacher gave you a little piece of paper and said, you know, oh, why don't you draw a house and some trees? So start with drawing in your mind's eye something as simple and familiar as, let's say, a house. See different types of houses, right? So a little kid may draw a house and it has a large little roof on it and lots of windows. Somebody else may draw a house and it has a flat roof and maybe one or two windows, but lots of doors. And then some people might say they're going to have a house and they can draw it, but it has a garage and a path and a garden and some trees and some flowers. And maybe they'll have it white and some shutters on it or what, you know. Play with the thought that you are familiar with. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. We are now going to practice being able to stimulate and use our ability to image, and because it's very important for us as manifestors. So we want to, you know, pick an image that you like and start building on that image. Sharpen the ability to hold an image. We already know we've practiced on how to hold a thought. Thoughts held in mind. You hold that thought by what? Repeating it, affirming it, over and over, saying it. Now add to the image. Hold an image of it. Hold the image of what you desire. And when you hold that thought and you hold that image, you are now activating, you are reaching into the realm of the invisible. You are forming and shaping the thing that you want. But we've got to practice this. We've got to be comfortable so that we're not just doing stuff in theory. We're not just truth students. We're not just manifestors by theory. You got to apply the truth that you know, right? And so we have to practice. Our life is our spiritual practice. So, yeah, we can read it in the book. It's really good. But we've got to start. And now's the time to start using this and playing with it, playing with the ideas. So taking some of these laws that we're talking about and put them into action. So we want to take a thought and we want to shape that thought. We want to give it life. We want to color it. We want to extend it, expand it. We want to bring it to life so we know what it is we're seeking. We know what we're putting out into the universe. And that which we put out correspondingly is going to do what? Return. So practice this. Now I want us to look, that's practicing how we image and using the imagination. I also want us to talk about the concept of seeing it to believe it, or believing it to do what? To see it. Now, these are two sides of the same coin. And according to which one you're comfortable with, one might be a little bit more challenging than the other. But both of them will work if you understand the spiritual energy behind both of these concepts. So it's seeing it to believe it and believing it to do what? See it, to see it. Now, we've heard people, I'm sure, who said, well, I won't believe it until I... We may have been one of those people from time to time. I won't believe it until I see it. Or I can't believe it until I see it. So for them, they're usually talking about having to see it first. They've got to see it first in its manifest form before they can believe it. And usually when they're talking about seeing something, it's seeing it with their own eyes. I've got to see it. We've heard that, right? I've got to see it with my own eyes, right? Even the disciples were like that. When Jesus had arisen, who was it? Do you remember who it was? They said, I got to see this. Thomas. Who? Thomas. Doubting Thomas. You know what? They said, look, the Lord has arisen. We have seen him. And Thomas is like, Well, let me see. I got to see it with my own eyes. And not only do I have to see it, but Jesus said, do what? Here, touch me. Stick your hand right here. You don't want to believe it, but here. And so some of us are like Thomas. You know, we got to, is that what? Okay. I got me a preacher here? Anyway, so that's Thomas, right? And that's how we are sometimes. We've got to see it with our own eyes before we believe it. And they've got to see the manifestation first. See the manifestation first, and then they'll believe. But what if they really understood the power of seeing something first, but with their inner eye? Not their outer eye. Usually they're talking about, I got to see it with my own eyes, my physical eyes. But what if, okay, you got to see it first, but what if you understood the power you hold to actually see it first with what? Your inner eye. Inner eye first. Because they're usually talking about seeing it in the outer first. But if they understood their real power to hold that image and to see an image, to use their imagination and to begin to see with their inner eyes, then the manifestation will show up. Put the cart before the horse or the horse before the cart. You got to put that, let me see it first in my inner eye, and then that second step, which is manifestation. This is the last step in the process of creation, right? The first step is what? Inner. Seeing it inner. Even we are the second step in God's creation in Genesis. Said, oh, when God said, well, let me make man in my image, and then we were formed or whatever, all this stuff, we were formed, and then God blew into us and we became what? Living souls. This is the second step of the process. So we have to really understand, wow, what if we could begin to train ourselves to see with our inner eyes first, and then the manifested thing becomes, you know, the proof of the pudding. The pudding's in the proof and whatever. It becomes something that we see, but it's the second step of the process. So if we can truly begin to see inwardly, then soon the outward visualization, manifestation will happen. As within, so without. As within, so without. So if you can see it within your inner eye, you see it within your inner eye to believe it. The belief is secondary in this part of the process because the first step is you have seen it inwardly. Now, that's a wonderful process. Remember, I said these two things, see it to believe it and believe it to see, are two sides of the same coin. Because now the other side of this, we can approach manifestation from the other side of this, which is if you believe it first, you'll then what? See it. If you believe it first, then you will see it. Jesus said this in John 14:14. If you ask me for anything in my name, in my nature, in my high Christed spiritual self, and do not what? Doubt, I will do it. If you ask anything in my name, in my nature, and do not doubt, I will do it. Meaning it will happen. It will manifest. Mark 11:24 says, whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive it. Whatever you ask in prayer, what? Believing, you will see it. We ask in prayer for many things all of the time, but we have forgotten to add the secret sauce, which is what? Believing it. We just ask like little beggars and paupers. Gimme, 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 gimme. That is not how we pray in the Unity and New Thought tradition. We pray affirming. We pray knowing. We pray giving thanks in advance. Because we what? We believe it. We claim it through our asking. So that's Mark. And then Matthew 21:22. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. So if you can believe it, then you'll not only see it, but you'll receive it. You'll not only see it. So if you believe it, you can conjure up the seeing of it as well. And then in conjuring up the believing, the seeing, the next step in that process is what? The receiving, the manifestation. It shall be manifested unto you. It shall be done unto you. You shall have it and receive it. So this is important. You can manifest by seeing something in your mind's eye through your imagination first, through the power to image a thing, or you can see it or manifest it by believing it first, believing it in your heart, right? Seeing it but through that wonderful thing of believing. And you see, belief has another caveat. You can believe, but you must also what? Do not doubt. So belief, you know, I could do a whole series on the power of belief and how we believe, but we just also nullify our beliefs because we doubt. And this is common for mostly all of us. I know things that I believe, and then I allow this little mind of mine to lay hold of that thought. But, well, it's never been done before. Oh, but, well, this is impossible. Oh, but they say that this will happen. And blah, 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 blah. And before you know it, what? Your belief is down the tube. And we all, because we all are, not only, you know, Jesus said, be ye in the world, but not of it. But we get caught up in the being of it sometimes. All of us, right? And so that plays with our ability to really believe purely and wholly. But if we can get to this point, when you become that master, you know, manifestor, a masterful metaphysician, a really astute teacher and student of these principles, where you're living them and you're activating them and you're acting upon them and they're a part of your consciousness. And yes, from time to time, we're going to slip out. But when the more we do, we can get ourselves back to that holy place. It doesn't mean that, you know, I don't walk around and saying, oh, I never have a moment where I have forgotten the truth. I have many moments. But I'm getting better that my moments are shorter and shorter. And I also know how to get back to home quicker and quicker. I don't linger long like I used to, languishing in the, you know, I just see it, I feel it. It may take me maybe a day. And after I recognize, oh, this is an energy I do not want in my body, no. I can't afford this. Then I quickly get back to my Father's house, right? So doesn't mean we're not going to, but as we begin to practice, we get back quicker. We learn it quicker. So, you know, we can either manifest by seeing the image, practicing using our capacity to image and see a thing, hold it in consciousness with that thought, and image and hold it and feel it and color it and expand it, boom, manifestation. Or we can work on our belief, we can decree it, we can affirm it, we can know and believe that it's true, and we hold that belief without doubt, and boom, we have manifestation. It shall be done unto you. So these are powerful ways, but this second one, it's very powerful, but this is where our faith has to be activated, right? Because he said, look, whatever you ask in prayer, believing you will receive it. So it may be easier to image a thing and hold that image, equate it with the thought, couple it with the thought, and hold the image, keep holding the image. That may work, but this is also a very powerful work. It might be more challenging, I think. You know, it might test our ability as truth students or whatever, but it's very, very powerful. And here's where our faith has to kick in, especially if we are using unities or our new thought definition of faith. If we're looking at faith from a metaphysical lens, faith is quite different. There are many, many levels of faith. There's the biblical approach, and even with that, there's so many different levels of faith. And I'll quote the biblical level of faith that we all kind of know from Hebrews 11, verse 1, right? And this is what the NIV version says. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So the NIV says, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And the King James Version puts it this way. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So this goes hand in hand with what we're talking about. Not seeing and seeing from a right place of consciousness within. I don't see it out here yet, but that's okay. I see it in here, right? So this assurance, and that's really great. So the question I was asking myself as I was meditating on this scripture this morning, well, how do we get this assurance about what we don't see? And how do we get this evidence about things not seen? Because that's what we're looking for. We're looking for assurance, and we're looking for some evidence. Yes? Yeah. Everybody wants the assurance and the evidence of that which I'm praying about, that which I'm affirming, that which I'm holding in consciousness. So we want to be sure about that. We want to see that. We want to know that. And so how do we get this evidence? And I think, well, it's hard to do to get this assurance or this evidence of things not seen with just the naked eye, the physical eye. We're conditioned to looking at life through the physical lens. This has happened. I see this. So therefore, this is reality. This is real. Oh, I can't believe in something that I haven't seen or touched. This is not real. So we've got to first recognize the assurance comes when we're able to be clear about what we don't see. We have evidence. So if we're relying on that naked eye, on the physical eye, it's not going to necessarily work for us to feel assured. Because I don't see it. To feel confident. I don't feel confident in the evidence because I don't see no evidence. But when we work from the inward plane, this is where I am. I'm learning to work with that inward plane of myself. Even with this body, I'm trying to say, okay, outwardly, or even physically, it's doing something. But I know when I look at it and hold with the inner eye, I can command something else to come forth that I want to be my evidence. I want to be my assurance. So it's moving beyond the physical eye. And so here is where our metaphysical definition of faith comes in. There are many definitions. The biblical one I just gave you from Hebrews, and there are many, many levels to faith. There's blind faith, understanding faith, healing faith, all kinds. But I'm going to share Unity's metaphysical definition for faith. And this is where it comes in with the message this morning. And this is our definition, one of the first things that I learned as a true student when I was studying. It says, faith is the perceiving power of the mind linked with the power to shape substance. I'm going to say this again. Faith is the perceiving power of the mind linked with the power to shape substance. Now, what is the power to shape substance? I want to see if anybody's been listening. All right. You're going to get a prize. All right. Yes, I don't know what it is, but I'm going to give you a prize, Monique. So, look. Faith is the perceiving power. To perceive is to what? Precede. To perceive. To see on an inward level. Not a physical thing. I'm not perceiving this. I'm seeing it. But when I perceive it, it's an inward thing. So faith is the perceiving power of the mind, my ability to see within the unseen, and then I link it with the power to what? Shape substance. My imagination. So this is really powerful because faith is the ability to perceive and to see inwardly, to image a thing in your mind, and then to shape and form that substance, that thing, to see it inwardly so that it becomes yours. This is a powerful thing. Did you all get the connection? Yes. So this is the kind of faith activity that gives you the assurance that you're looking for. It gives you the evidence. It gives you the confidence, right? That in the things that you're hoping for. So your hope doesn't become some wishy-washy thing. Your hope is based on faith. Your faith is based on your ability to perceive, to read, to perceive, and to shape and to form and to image and to hold that image until it's manifested. Come on, conscious manifestors. Are you with me? Yeah. All right. I just want to know if you're getting this. Because as Spirit was giving to me, I'm getting happy. Like, yes, Lord, I see it. And I want you to get it. Because sometimes we can get lost in, you know, where all the metaphysical tracks. But this is really powerful stuff. And so we want to understand that these laws, these principles work if we work them. And if we understand them at a deeper level. So this is our time to use our perceiving power of your mind. What is it you want to see manifesting in your life and in your affairs, in your relationships? And you've got to work on seeing that. Don't wait till some stuff has showed up. And that's usually our indication that, I need to see this differently. Because it showed up in a way that I really don't want. So I've got to what? I need to perceive this differently. I need to do some work. I got to see a new thing. A new image. But we want to get practice in this, right? Practice doing this work. Seeing your life as you desire it to be. And this is not, I'm not talking about vain imaginings, but I'm talking about power-filled vision. Power-filled vision. Spiritual vision. The ability to see within into the invisible realm of substance of God and bring forth. We're manifestors. Bring forth that which is available to us in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom, that high consciousness, that place of God where divine ideas dwell, to bring it forth. So we are here to be conscious manifestors. See it and you will believe it. Or believe it and you will see it. The choice is yours. Do one or the other. It doesn't matter. But begin this practice because the world is calling for us to be able to hold and keep this high watch and to bring forth a new heaven upon the earth. We need a new heaven upon this earth, right? And heaven is that which we can't see, but it contains everything. We want to bring heaven, high consciousness, into what? Earth, into manifested realm. And we're the ones to do it. Yes?
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 Yes, 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 yes. Blessings. Amen. Amen.